One moment, please. Loopback is recording this call for the call leader's future use.
And if we want to jump into discussion on the question of KPFT's decision to lower its central services assessment, we hold that until we've disposed of factual questions about the budget document in front of us. Tony, yeah. You're first.
Yeah, okay, I have Adriana. Two quick questions. First question is, how much money does that translate to 5%?
We lost you.
Tony, you faded out.
Faded out there, Tony.
I'm sorry?
You faded.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, that repeat your question. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
How much money does that translate into the actual with that 5%? How much money reduction are we talking about? And how many full-time staff and part-time staff?
We have full-time staff is 8. And the part-time staff is the equivalent of about 1.5 FTEs. No one on staff that is part-time works any more than 18 hours, 16 to 18 hours. And, yeah. So, and in terms of the dollars, we're looking at that reduction, I believe it was 50 and 60,000 dollars.
54, I think.
54,000
per year, or that's on an annual basis.
That was for the entire year. Yeah.
Great. Next up, I've got Michael Novick. Go ahead.
I guess my question is the other possibility would be increasing revenues. I noticed that on your budget, for example, you actually anticipate less listener support than you budgeted for last year, and less website income and a couple of other less from community special events, and so I'm wondering why you're anticipating less income this year, apart from, I understand that we're not getting the CPB money, but that's a separate question. These are all things that are within the power of the station season, at least match last year or increase. So I'm wondering why you felt that you needed to trim all those. Speaks to the general question of, you know, Houston being the fourth largest city in the United States and fastest growing big city, and you know, what the potential for increasing revenue and listenership and so on is there.
Sure. It's actually, Michael, just a reflection of the reality of the climate we're operating in here in Houston. We're in a fairly conservative environment, though we do have a little bit of a tiny bubble within that. Yes, we are the fourth largest city, but in terms of statistical metropolitan survey areas, we're barely in the top 10. And I think the reduction in those numbers is really just a reflection of the reality of the times. We've been on a decline in listenership, a decline in membership here in Houston. I think in the universe of public broadcasting, all in all, that's true as well. Our main shared audience is with the University of Houston, the NPR station here, which bought out the Rice University station and split itself into a full-time NPR kind of news feed channel, as well as a classical feed over on the old Rice channel. And both of those stations are struggling, and they're going into more frequent pledge drives, longer pledge drives, and slightly less successful pledge drives as well over the last several years. So I think that's just a reflection. And though we had a very successful mini drive just recently concluded at the beginning of August. That was in my my take on that is, you know, it was a bit of an aberration. We've struggled to achieve the budgeted goals on our pledge drives over the last few years. I mean, and honestly, part of it is the media environment, in my opinion, but part of it is also that we don't really budget, nor do we market ourselves well, and I think that that can maybe apply to the entire universe of Pacifica. I'm impressed with what I've been told. Zuberi in L.A. has accomplished just in the recent past in terms of, you know, it's a little better than guerrilla marketing when you can actually get, like, city bus stand placards and things like that. It's been an ongoing struggle here to raise the level of consciousness about KPFT in this market for longer than as long as I've been in Houston, which is pretty much as long as KPFT's been in Houston. So I don't want to belabor that point, but I hope that addresses some of what you asked.
Next up, I have Raul. And everybody, if you're not asking a question, please mute your phones. Raul, go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Good. I apologize if I am looking at the different budget, but first and foremost, your budget is showing a surplus of about $3,000, $3,878. Is that the same budget?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's my question. The first question is the $200,000 restricted fundraising. That was showing last year. Is that also showing this year?
Yes, it is. That is in a still hoped for launch to a capital campaign to affect a new transmitter, which we're way overdue on.
Okay, so that's going to happen in the first quarter of the next fiscal year, right?
Well, that's what we said a year ago, and
yeah,
and yes, hope springs eternal.
Okay. And my other question, it looks to me that you have about $20,000 of depreciation, which is a non-cash asset, and we discussed this, and we kind of passed a motion that we would evaluate this in terms of the surplus when we consider this budget. And that would, if you add that back, you will have probably about $23,000 surplus, which probably makes the difference between what was kind of a reduction on the central services versus what we, you know, what we you have budgeted. I just wanted to confirm, is that about $20,000 depreciation?
This process was begun long before the committee voted to deal with depreciation in that way.
Okay.
And so ours has it left in. If that change affects the bottom line there from $3,800 to $2,308, then that's all to the good. But that doesn't cover half of the differential I mentioned in terms of reduction from 17% to 12% on National Office Central Service. It gets to about that would be about not quite half of it.
Okay.
Anything else, Raul?
That's it. Thank you, Duane.
Thanks, Raul. On to Barbara.
Well, you wanted to only take questions, and mine is really a comment with probably might provoke a little discussion.
Well, let's hold on comments and discussion and get factual questions out of the way. So I'll keep you on stack if that's what you want to do. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Adriana. Adriana, you are barely audible, and it sounds like you're in a noisy car as well. Can you get the receiver closer to your mouth?
Yes. Let me go to my phone because this speaker is really difficult. Give me a second.
Okay, we'll come back.
Marcus, this is Marcus Jeter. I've joined the call.
Welcome aboard, Marcus. I have a couple questions,
Thank
Dwayne.
You.
Under income, the car program income is $20,000 higher than you had budgeted for this year or you made last year. What's your basis for thinking it'll go up that high?
I'm basing that on what we've already achieved this year and extending that a little further. It's been very successful. And we're beyond $40,000 already this year. So to me, that said last year's number was budgeted too low. And so we became a little bit more optimistic in terms of the future of that. And also it's being much more heavily promoted by us than it was in the past with on-air promotional announcements and such.
Do you happen to know what your year-to-date figure is on the car program?
I don't have that exactly, but
we can look it up. Don't worry about it.
40,000-ish.
On row 79 of this spreadsheet, outside services and payroll charges, there is no money budgeted, and it had been budgeted at $25,000 for the current year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's going on there?
I do not. I see that is likely a coding error of some sort that may be reflected in a different section of the budget. I see that in the last, in 13, it was only $5,700. I see it budgeted at $25,700, but no. I don't know exactly, Brian.
Adriana?
Okay, Adriana, go for it.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me better?
Much better.
Okay. First of all, I want to tell this committee that I'm really disappointed because our PPFT has been approved this budget with a vote of 9-5 without any discussion. If not, somebody prevent us from making even one question. And that's the way that the budget was approved. But that is obviously not the problem at this committee, it's a problem of our NSV. But I'm really happy that at least I can ask some question now. First of all, when you said that we have 8 full-time employees, right?
Yes.
And we have, you said 1.5, it means that basically we have like 3 part-time employees?
By the way, she is our...
We have 4 less than half-time employees, yes.
Okay. How many employees... obviously all the full time, but how many of the part-time employees do they have any health insurance?
0.
Okay. It means that we are projecting almost $2,000 a month for every employee for health insurance, right? Because I see that it's more than $15,000 a month. Who's the one that decide on how the health insurance of our employees is, who decide this? Because I was told before that the national office does that, but I know now that it's not true. I mean, we do it at PPST. Who is in charge of deciding who the health insurance is and the prices and all of that? That is...
The health insurance is billed back to the station. Those contracts are negotiated at the national office level, and we are the three of us east of the Rockies are lumped in together. So
okay.
KPFT is lumped in with WPFW and WBAI in terms of that service. The California folks are all under Kaiser, and everyone east of that is under United Healthcare. And that's not a KPFT decision. That's
okay.
I think it goes back to when the national office was actually in Washington D.C. for a little while.
Okay. And the second thing that worried me a lot, and everybody knows from the last finance committee meeting, I care about bank charges. I think that I cannot explain, and I can offer, obviously, that will cost, your line is like more than $20,000, $22,000 a year for bank charges. And I believe that we can save that money without any problem. I think that I can bring at least two banks to KPFT to have those bank charges reduced to less than a quarter. We are paying more than the national office practically and more than the big stations that have an income much, much bigger than us. I don't understand that part. And I think that I'm asking that since 2011. And I want to know, I don't understand why we are wasting $22,000 in bank charges when we can do it for free or almost free.
Well, every check, every charge, everything we do has a bank charge related to it. And I, too, have been amazed at the level of that expense. And that seems to be a cost of doing business because it's been that way as long as I can remember. I would have hoped and had been given some hope at least two or three times in my tenure that we would effect some economies of scale as a network to alleviate that. What I think, I agree with you, is a large number.
In that amount is not included credit card charges, because if I don't mistake, that those are in a different line, right? How can we explain every charge that comes or every check that comes to us produce these expenses, but a station that has two or three times our income, they have a quarter of what we spend. I mean, it's something wrong, basically wrong there. How can we solve it? I can bring two banks, at least two banks, to offer a service cheaper to KPFT. I'll save $20,000 in the time that we really need the money.
Okay. Can I get some, provide some information on that?
Yes.
That would be
okay.
Good.
Yes. Right now, KPFT is with Wells Fargo, and there's a couple of other accounts, I think, investment accounts there. We are going through the process with same situation at the national office when we are experiencing about $6,000 of bank charges with Bank of America, and I have addressed that issue with Bank of America that would result into about $12,000 of refund that we are requesting or credit because they started charging us that much money. And the economies of scale is the one that we were talking about when we wanted to open the account with Bank of America so that it will be the Bank of America, usually they have this fixed, Wells Fargo will have a fixed amount of about $600 to $1,000 to begin with, and then they charge like by piece, by transaction. Every check that clears is, 45 cents. Every thing that you do or every deposit is charged a dollar. and all those things add up to, you know, between $2,000 and $3,000 per station. If we have economies of scale, if we include KPFT into the Bank of America, we will avoid that fixed cost that you pay each month to a different bank like Wells Fargo. So that might be a solution. Again, this is not saying that you were consolidating with the other account. You will have your own bank account the way you have it right now, except that you're getting a discount because you are kind of being piggyback on the national account, main account, the fixed monthly amount, and you're only going to pay a charge. It's just like a telephone, the family plan. If you you only pay the one big thing, and then whatever is, you know, the additional lines will be only paying a portion of it. So that might be one solution, and that's the other thing that we were experiencing. Those inactive accounts that we set up to get these economies of scale, we were being charged about $500 a month on those. So we told them that should be credited because we never used them. So that would be a solution. And we are experiencing, I mean, the banks are charging every single transaction, whether you go online, you go to the teller, you make a deposit, you make a transfer, you make a wire transfer, they charge you money between 50 cents to even $2 every transaction.
I just want to point out that we're at time on the KPFT budget. I think we clearly have more to discuss. Can I get a motion to extend time on this item?
Yes.
Yes, please.
15 minutes.
Was that 15, Adriana?
Yes.
Any objection to extending for 15 minutes? Hearing none, we are now extended. Dwayne, two clarifying questions on that point. There's a blank line in your budget for caging services. It's row 133. Is it your bank who provides your check caging service?
Texas is a cage-free state.
I'm sorry, is that a joke?
Yes, it is. Sorry.
Okay.
It's not a very good one, apparently. caging services, no. I think anything caged is that's never been an expense. I think that, you know, there are lines in this budget that apply only to like one station out west or something. But
when people pay their pledges by check,
yes,
who gets those checks and processes them? Do they come?
They
to the station?
Are through a bank, so that's rolled into the bank charges.
Okay, so that's
essentially a lockbox.
Bank charges aren't comparable to other stations because I think some stations are recording those on the caging services line.
It would be, we would call it a lockbox that is up in Dallas. And could I just clarify two other things for you, Brian? One, in terms of the large number for the car donations, through the end of the third quarter, we had $37,000 in car donations so far this year, and that line that you were asking about earlier under administrative, line 79, I guess, outside services, payroll charges, that is reflective of, I believe, the no longer contracted service through Radio Research Consortium and Arbitron Services. So that, I think, is why that's just wiped out completely.
Okay. And the final question, when was the last time that you all got competitive quotes from banks on providing you banking services?
I would have to check with our business manager, Markeisha, on that, but probably no more than 2 years ago.
Okay. Any other factual
questions?
Sure, go ahead, Will.
Can you, I'm looking at the last year's, the 2014 year-to-date. You didn't record lines 117, 118 of your budget, the tower rent and utilities. You did not include any utilities on the tower. And what's going on with that? And then now we're budgeting $50,000 on that.
Okay, this is Jim. That had come up in one of the prior meetings, and I would feel more comfortable doing that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Jim, can you jot us all a quick
outline
about that?
To the committee, it's just going on an open line. I think we better not. It'd be better if we didn't do that.
Jim, can you send us a follow-up note by email?
Sure.
With whatever information you have? Great.
Yeah.
Okay, any further factual questions on the budget before we get into discussion? All right, I'm closing the stack to questions. Dwayne, you can hang out or go about your evening as you prefer. You're welcome to stay in the conversation. Barbara had asked to be on stack for discussion. Who else?
Raul.
I've got Barbara and Raul. Who else?
Michael Nogis.
Oh, Barbara Rout. Oh, Michael.
And
Adriana.
Tony.
And Tony. Barbara Rowell, Michael, Adriana, and Tony. Am I missing anyone? All right. Adriana, I'll let you go first since it is your station of origin, and then I'll follow the stack in the order I called it. So go ahead, Adriana.
Okay. For me, like I explained before, it's so difficult because, I mean, the only thing that we see is a spreadsheet with lines and numbers without anything else. It's we are not allowed to have discussions openly in our LSE. I feel it's not. I'm not questioning the ability of Dwayne or the business manager to do this. What I'm questioning is we are not doing our jobs. I don't know where to get the information because I don't have it. How can we rubber stamp budgets without having the option to check on every line? You know, I don't know if I think that is very clear my frustration because, like I said, I get involved in KPFT since 2010 really. And basically I see this year after year. We cannot check this information. I don't know how else to explain it. You know, like I said, looking at the piece of paper with a bunch of lines doesn't mean anything. I feel that we are not filling up our fiduciary responsibilities because we are not taking care and really controlling, like our bylaws says, the money that is entrusted to us. And I don't think that only happened in KPFT, but KPFT is the only one that I know. That's it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had one more question for you, Dwayne, if you're still on the call.
Yes.
It's on the cash flow tab. So this kind of concerned me because this shows how much money you're supposed to have in the bank each month under this plan. In November, it's negative $8,000. In December, it's negative $46,000. In January, negative $38,000. And in April, negative $40,000. And that's assuming, your cash flow assumes that all that transmitter money does come in. Let me see. Oh, no, it shows it's spent in the same month it comes in. So you can't have negative cash in the bank, at least with any of the banks I've dealt with. What's your plan for paying bills in those months?
The usual plan is to start the next pledge drive early. And I think in the wake of the passage of this, we have already moved up and extended a drive in from middle of August to the end of July. We are also projecting now that a late October pledge drive will begin probably the first week of October, and that it will run longer than I believe maybe any drive KPFT's ever had, save one. It's being extended to a full 21 days, I believe. So, I mean, that's been the methodology historically, is to start another fund drive sooner or extend a fund drive longer. It's not a sustainable model, but it has proven to work. So I don't have a better answer than that for you right now.
Next on the stack, I have Barbara.
Well, were you going to go back to Adriana's question, and is there any answers for her before I bring up this next topic? I think she's asking for more discussion, but I don't know whether that's something.
Jim, I can explain the Finance Committee meetings and the LSB meeting.
Hold on a second. I don't want this to go off on a tangent here. So I'm picking up on the sense that there's a conflict at your local board, which is not uncommon in Pacifica, but it's also not this committee's place to intervene in local disputes. So I don't want to get in a back and forth on votes that none of the rest of us participated in. I want to deal with the viability of the budget document that's in front of us.
That's fine. My phone is always open to anyone on the LSB. I've never gotten a call. Thank you.
Okay. Jim, Dwayne, if Adriana has further questions about supporting details for the budget, what's the best process for her to go through to get her questions answered?
I think she should come to me. I've gone out of my way to answer every question that's been brought to me to the best of my ability.
Okay. Barbara?
I'm getting a little side suggestion here that looking at the multiple tabs explains a lot of things about how these numbers are arrived at. And in fact, our business manager has offered to walk Adriana through that if they want to talk sometime. So my point to bring up was about the Radio Research Consortium, and it's been pointed out to me that we let go of that. We don't pay for Arbitron, but when we inquired recently about picking that up again with, you know, some idea from, I guess it was our interim manager before our new manager, that it would be a good idea, we were told that there are old bills that have not been paid by other stations, and that we couldn't pick up the service again, for our station, pay for it for us, until these other bills were paid. So I don't know whether this is something other people are concerned about, or if you
it,
give
it
up.
It honestly sounds like a separate question from this budget, Barbara.
Okay.
perspective that budget's not proposing to resume payments to Radio Research Consortium. Do you have anything on the budget?
No.
Okay. Next up, we have Raul.
Okay. Just first, I just wanted to follow on the research consortium. So we do not have any obligation to put anything on the research consortium for KPFT. But my question is, my discussion is about the central services. As I have indicated before, we are evaluating our budget at the national office, and we're doing our best to reduce the expenses at the national office, and we will determine what kind of funding requirements after the national the NFC has reviewed our expenses. We will be able to determine what kind of support we need from the radio station. We have made the first pass of the budget that I sent to Margie for our review. But instead of, I wanted to make sure that she's also in the same on the same page with me on our cut in personal in expenses. However, just playing with the numbers, initially we see a reduction of about, you know, 12 to 15% of expenses, or not expenses, but after we plan the expenses for the national office and project the kind of the revenue between the affiliate income and the subcarrier income, our resulting deficit that would need to be supported by the central services is about $1.3 million, and that's about 15 to 16% of a reduction from what we were requiring the stations to pay using the 17%. So it looks like there's going to be a reduction of central services at that point. The preliminary numbers, the budget for national office reflects that reduction that we need only to the amount that we need from the stations. However, the KPFT budget reflects about 30% reduction in their central services, and that might not be able to sustain the contribution of the KPFT might not be able to sustain the operations of the national office. At the same time, you know, that might put a burden on the other radio station if the allocation would be based on that. So I think that there might be an issue on how much really would be needed from KPFT, and I don't think that this number would probably be feasible in terms of the total expenses or total requirements from the national office.
Raul, one question. Have you all had any discussions about what's an appropriate amount of KPFT's business manager salary for the other stations that are benefiting from her services to cover?
Well, they are already paying the business manager at KPFT.
Oh, it's already happening?
Yeah, it's already happening. She's being paid from BAI and BAI and PFW already.
Dwayne and Jim, does that square with?
Are you aware of that, Dwayne?
Well, in part, yes. Not exactly. It doesn't really comply with the agreement that was entered into at the beginning of this process, back when Arlene was still the executive director.
Okay.
I mean, it does cover the differential, but it doesn't cover the reduction to the in business services. And again, I'd be more comfortable, I think, not having this conversation on an open wire.
Fair enough. Is that is the extent to which it's currently being shared reflected in this budget?
Yes.
Okay. Next, I have Michael Novick.
I appreciate that Dwayne proposed that we should have a discussion based on what he's suggesting. And I know that we have a general agreement or understanding that we want to budget the national office based on the actual needs and expenses of the national office as opposed to waiting to see what's going to come in and then spending.
I'm wrong.
But,
I'm sorry. Everyone else mute, please. Michael should be the only one with his phone on right now. Go ahead, Michael.
But I do want to come back to what I said earlier. I think that the everybody is in the same boat, really, in one way or another, that the way to say the KPFC is. And I think that the strategic solution for us all is to figure out how to grow our way out of it. And so, kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul is not really going to make it. And so I am concerned. I would like to see really a plan that says how the station is going to increase. I hear what he's saying about the audience and so on, but it is the fourth largest city in the United States. It is the largest, the fastest growing large city in the United States. It has the fastest growing youth population. It's a city that's getting younger as opposed to L.A., which even though it has a big immigrant population, is getting older like most other cities in the United States. Houston is bucking that trend. And so I think that there has to be some thought given to increasing the revenue side by increasing the listeners. And to me, that's what would go into a budgetary process. I don't know what kind of discussion they've had, but what we pushed at KPFK and what you're hearing from Newberry's not just Newberry, but the LSP wanted to create a development task force. We've been recruiting people on there. We have like 20-some people with some development skills, marketing skills. We're coming in to volunteer the services to the station to try to build audience, increase legacy giving, other things. And I think there has to be some thought to that, if not in this budget, then in your next one, because the solution has to be, growing, building audience, meeting community needs better, and, therefore having a larger audience and a larger pool of money coming in. That's it.
Thanks, Michael. Next on Stack, I have Tony.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Yeah, my only concern and discussion, I don't have a problem with the central service deduction, but Mike, I guess I'm going to have a question with Raul. So is this going to be, what can we afford to do across the board? Are other stations going to follow this with a 5% reduction or a 10% reduction? I mean, where is the range that we can afford from a budgetary perspective of each station, what they're going to do in terms of reducing central service? I don't know if Raul, you all have discussed that, or I'm sure other stations are going to come in with similar or more reductions. So I guess I'd like to hear Raul's opinion on that.
Yes.
In terms of how other stations and what can we afford to have each station reduce central services by?
So I think Raul covered that. He said his ballpark right now is that we'll be able to drop central services 12 to 15% from what they are currently. But KPFT's proposal goes beyond that. Am I wrong, Raul?
That's accurate. That's correct.
You said KPFT's proposal goes beyond that?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make a proposal because I'm hearing the same concerns coming up again. I think to be consistent with the budgeting policies we want, and this will help KPFT's bottom line, we need to see that offsetting adjustment of depreciation. I think for it to be a responsible budget, we need some explanation for how the cash flow is going to work in those months that are currently showing a negative cash balance. And since we have not hammered down an exact number for central services, but we are hoping to lower them across the boards for the stations, I think we need basically something that spells out what the difference is for KPFT to us. So I'm going to send out a proposal that we postpone approval while asking for, well, I'll read it. That the National Finance Committee postpone approval of the KPFT budget pending submission of the following. First, a revised budget that offsets depreciation with an equivalent positive adjustment under cash and capital. Second, a revised cash flow projection or narrative budget addendum consisting of a plan for meeting KPFT's cash needs during the months currently showing a negative cash balance. And third, a contingency plan detailing how KPFT will operate if central service assessments remain at their current levels. I just sent that out. Any discussion on that proposal? Do those of you who raised concerns feel like anything's missing from that proposal?
Brian, this
yes, Barbara.
Proposal is just, you're just speaking about how to handle KFT, the KPFT's budget right now, right?
Correct.
Okay. I do have a question for Raul of something that he mentioned a while ago about income to the national office if when it's appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, let's...
Okay.
Well, I wanted to ask about the subcarrier accounts or income.
Let's dispose of KPFT's budget before we get into national office income.
Okay. It is, though, from all of us, you know, from the stations.
Correct.
And so that's why I was concerned about it.
Can you hear me?
Can Is that our call?
Yeah, okay, you can. I was on mute.
This is very responsible of you. Welcome back.
Okay. Let me read this so everybody can hear it. We all agree on what we're dealing with here. The motion as I have it is that the National Finance Committee postpone approval of the KPFT budget pending submission of the following. One, a revised budget that offsets depreciation expense with an equivalent positive adjustment under, quote, cash and capital, unquote. Two, a revised cash flow projection or narrative budget addendum consisting of a plan for meeting KPFT's cash needs during the months currently showing a negative cash balance. Three, a contingency plan detailing how KPFT will operate if central service assessments remain at their current levels. And that's the whole thing, right?
That is the whole thing. Thank you.
Can I add something?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, we probably would need to determine if that power utilities and power rental would be also included, any information about that. If that might affect the budget?
You think that needs to be a formal part of the motion, or is that something you and Dwayne and Jim can just follow up with off the call?
Okay.
I think probably everybody wants the numbers to be accurate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, but we don't know what that is.
Your concern is that we may not be budgeting tower utilities. Well, we don't know what the issues are, and Jim has concerns about discussing them on a public call. So I think it's probably unfair to work language into a motion that we can't discuss. Anything else on this proposal? Any objections to this language?
Am I audible?
You are, Michael. Go ahead.
I have the same concern I stated in the discussion and in the questioning. To me, I think that a budget has to be a plan for how we're going to move ahead. And I would like to see some kind of plan for, in other words, their budget projects lower listener support, lower various items, lower by substantial amounts of money compared to even the current year we're in. And that just seems to be a downward cycle that you're not going to get out of. So that's a larger question about their budget, in a sense, than just what's in that motion.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure, go ahead, Barbara.
Your motion, if you just included the words, a revised budget that shall include at least these three items, meaning you could, of course, adjust other things.
I actually think that's permissible under the current language.
Okay.
It calls for a revised budget. It specifies the depreciation offset, but it doesn't limit it to that.
Okay.
Michael, so this motion is not approving the agenda. It's postponing, approving the budget. It's postponing approval of the budget, but asking for more information and some revisions before we do. Do you want to object to it? Do we need to take a vote?
I guess not.
Take a vote. I'll object to it.
Jim Boyd?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion before we call the roll?
Just one thing I'd like to say as far as revenue. In the past, the Civica Foundation has overstated hope for revenue. KPFT never does that, and we never will do that. Our budgets are meant to be realistic, and we won't change that standard. That's all I have.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. And I just want to add before we go to a vote, I think KPFT is to be commended for being first out of the gate with a budget and for being realistic and prudent about its income projections. We've definitely gotten, as a network, ourselves into trouble with wishful budgeting in the past. And I think Michael's right that ultimately we have to grow our way out of our problem. That may be a more prolonged discussion than we can have with a budgeting process that started about 3 months too late. In any case, R. Paul, can you call the roll on the motion?
Okay.
Actually, why don't you read it once more before you call the roll?
Why don't I read it before we do that?
Please.
Okay, the motion is that the National Finance Committee postpone approval of the KPFT budget pending submission of the following. One, a revised budget that offsets depreciation expense with an equivalent positive adjustment under, quote, cash and capital, unquote. Two, a revised cash flow projection or a narrative budget addendum consisting of a plan for meeting KPFT's cash needs during the months currently showing a negative cash balance. Three, a contingency plan detailing how KPFT will operate if central service assessments remain at their current levels. Okay? All right. And Jim Boyd.
No.
Lydia Bazan, Adriana Kasanov?
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tiekert?
Yes.
Marcus Jenner?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, pass. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
And Steve?
Manager Saba, Raul Salvador?
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman?
Yes.
Okay, going back, me. Okay, I'll abstain. Okay, the vote is 6-4, 1 against, 2 abstentions.
And Duane and Jim, while you all are working on that, we're going to be working our darndest on the expense side of the national office budget to make our shared national expenses as affordable as possible for everyone in the network. And I do appreciate you starting the conversation. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
It is now past 11 o'clock on the East Coast. I don't know about you all, but I'm close to my pumpkin hour. If someone wants to make a motion to adjourn, it doesn't sound like we're going to have too many more budgets in 2 weeks. We can resume our review of the financial statements then. I heard a motion to adjourn from Michael Nova.
I'm sorry. Before I ask for my motion, we had on the agenda planning additional meetings, and I'm wondering if we can at least do that on the list.
Before adjourning?
Okay. No, I'm just reminding people that we should.
Oh, if we can put the email list.
Yeah, that's all.
Yes, I'll take responsibility for starting that thread.
Thank you. So then I will adjourn.
There's a motion to adjourn from Michael Novick. Any objections? Hearing none, we're adjourned. I will see you all in 2 weeks. Thanks very much for your time, everyone.
Good night.